What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast that went too early on allowing Christmas films to be screened at home. Coming up, stunning Saints, consummate Cov, terrific Tykes, and Fuchs in hell. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. Yeah, thank you so much to Newport County. I am going to be wringing every last drop out of the name of their new manager between now and the time he leaves by mutual consent in, yeah, let's say mid-February. We are here to reflect on a big weekend in the English Football League. It's me, Matt, and I've got my two podcasting pals alongside me. How are you doing, Adrian Clark?
Oh, top of the world, Matt. Yeah, loving life at the moment. As well as Arsenal obviously winning the North London Derby, I thought I'd lost my watch, my Apple Watch yesterday, and was a little bit devastated about it. I thought I'd lost it at my kids' football, and I found it this morning. It obviously fell into the bottom of my rucksack accidentally. And yeah, so that was just a massive boost. And on the Christmas movies front, yes, my Mrs. Clark, has been watching Christmas movies, I think, since October. It's shocking. Well, shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, well, at least mine's a seven-year-old who insists on watching The Grinch at all hours of the night and day. Sam Parkin's back with us too. Sam, you lost anything? You watched any Christmas films of late?
I keep losing, and this is just historically, in a nutshell, what I do, the covers for golf clubs. Just I literally spend 100 quid replacing them every season. So yeah, I keep losing those. On the weekend, Arsenal, Chelsea, Forest, QPR, full house, wasn't it? Full
that
house.
Never, I'm not gonna ever list, happens for us.
I'm not going to list Cambridge and Clarkie's other five teams, but Cambridge did win, I believe. But
Southend did win.
A good win weekend for all of us then. We're going to get into our review of it, but not until I remind you of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's bet, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. Okay, let's kick off the show proper in the Championship, where there were a few contenders for the Nobody Saw That Coming award this weekend past, but we're going to give it to Southampton, who hammered Charlton 5-1 at the Valley, 4-0 up midway through the half. It was a stroll for the Saints and a nightmare for Nathan against his old club. I think we need to start with Southampton here, don't we, Adrian? They're going to do it, aren't they? They're going to appoint the caretaker.
I think it's almost guaranteed now, isn't it? I mean, in fairness, he's won three on the trot, and this was swashbuckling with a capital S, wasn't it? I mean, talk about exciting. You know, they weren't really possession heavy, were they, at all, Southampton? I think it was all about sort of counter-attacking football, but it was about desire and making runs. So many, whenever a player had the ball, two or three others were making dynamic runs around them. The man on the ball was really confident and taking people on, and mainly thinking of fellows down the right. Inspired, really, to put him at wing-back from Tondereka. And then the other one is that guy that I did a little mini scouting report on, Leo Cienza. It's in the second goal that he sets up for Armstrong, but he just goes through the gears with the ball at his feet. And it's like, yeah, Charlton's players have got rucksacks on. They're just nowhere near him. He looks, when he's got the ball at his feet, Leo Cienza, he looks too good for the Championship. So that has to go down as a great, great signing. I'm guessing that was a Will Steele one, actually. But yeah, no, it was a phenomenal performance. 23 shots, 8 on target. XG, 4.63. Some brilliant goals. Obviously, Finnazaz gets himself a double. Both the wing-backs involved for a couple as well. And what an inspired pick, you have to say, from Tondereka in central midfield. I don't know if you caught this. Cameron Bragg, 20 years of age. I think he made his debut at Blackburn in what was a bit of a miserable game. And he starts him in this one. I think Flynn Downs wasn't quite right. Starts him centre mid. Completes 44 of 46 passes. Wins 8 of 11 duels. Wins 4 of 6 tackles. And creates 2 chances. Cameron Bragg, I think you're going to play the next game, mate. That was absolutely outstanding. So, yeah, just a dream day for Tondereka, who must be thinking, why haven't they called me? Like, when are they going to call me? Because I'm ready to sign this deal. I mean, I don't think they should. I think they should keep their powder dry and a little bit longer, but he's got to be in the frame now, hasn't he, blimey?
Maybe if they beat Leicester on Tuesday night, he'll get the call there. Southampton up to 16th in the table. Luckily, Sam, Nathan Jones is not an overly emotional character, so I'm sure he boxed this off and dealt with it pretty quickly.
I was watching you intently there, Matt, because there had to be a brag. Gag.
I was thinking that, yeah. So plenty for Eckert to brag about was all I could come up with. And yeah,
I was thinking boast, but then I thought it might go over your head if I went down that route. Yeah, tough day for him. He would have wanted to do well, obviously, against Southampton. And I think for 45 minutes, they let him know in no uncertain terms, the Southampton fans, what was on their mind, given his short stay on the South Coast. But yeah, as much as it would have hurt at the weekend and for the players, they're chasing in those games when you've been obviously blown out of the water in such a short space of time. The second half must have felt like an eternity for them. But look at the season they've had to this point. I rushed to look at the stats like after the game. They conceded 4 at home before this game. So you just have to wipe it from the memory and crack on, and they get the opportunity to do that tomorrow night. On reflection, would he have gone with Apta and Hernandez as the two wing backs? I think that's kind of been the narrative. Apta was the fall guy, the poor bloke, taken off after 25 minutes, replaced by Rankin Costello, which obviously gave him an opportunity to move things around a little bit and gain a little bit of defensive solidity. But the damage was already done. So I think that's one big issue, and that's caused by Edwards, who's been brilliant, Amari Bell, Reece Burke, James Bree, obviously on loan from Southampton, unavailable to play. So there's 4 more defensively minded guys you could probably have filled in at wing back. So that was probably the reason that they were a little bit patched up and pulled apart. There was something great about seeing Finn Azaz rekindle his form, and Fellows, who Clarkie just spoke of, and Armstrong as well, dropping in and finding runners.
It was great.
It was poetry, wasn't it, from Southampton? But I think, yeah, the mitigating circumstances that there's no defenders for Charlton, wide defenders, and a lack of thrust going the other way. Obviously, that wasn't the big reason for the defeat here, but I think Lee Burn's got one. I don't think Campbell scored yet. I mean, where would they be without Carey's goals at this point of the season, with Godden and Kelman still out? So, yeah, need to get back to keeping clean sheets and keeping things tight, because they're not going to score many goals, Charlton. But I have confidence in Nathan Jones that, you know, they've got a tough game coming up. They go to Stoke, I think.
Lovely stuff from the EFL fixture computer in terms of narrative, right? Get gubbed by one of your old clubs and you go to another one straight afterwards.
Yeah, and they smashed Bristol City recently. And I just think after that Leicester defeat, they didn't play terribly. I think that's a tough game for Charlton if they're going to remain a little bit patched up. So it might get slightly worse, not in terms of a 5 goal scoreline, but I think it could be a defeat in the Potteries and have to rebuild ahead of the weekend.
What does Nathan do when he inevitably goes to St Mary's and grinds out an ugly 1-0 win later on in the season against the same side,
straight in the Joe Brand,
managed by Neil Warnock? I mean, I think the top could come off and everything. I think he flies into the stands. It's going to happen, isn't it? I can see it now.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one. Elsewhere, Coventry 10 points clear of the playoff pack after beating West Brom in the rain in the West Midlands. Bonkers game. As a result of the result, I'm going to go ahead and change the Sky Blues moniker from Frank Lampard's Coventry City to Champions Elect Coventry City. They won 9 of their last 10, Sam. They came from 2-0 down here. I guess the red card's a bit of a turning point here, but I think I asked the same question to Clarkie last week, but what's going to stop them going up? It's only going to be some sort of ludicrous injury crisis from this point, right?
Yeah, and you can go into the market in January, and I'm sure the position that they're in, the owner won't be shy, will he, at safeguarding probably the second half of the season. I think you could probably replay something I said a month ago, which was along those lines, Matt, of the question, but I've scored 3 with, in essence, without Thomas Asante, no Hadji Wright, Radoni still making his way back, and they're still finding a way to win games, and didn't play well at the weekend, until West Brom were down to 10. So that accentuates their power. Has there been a better player outside maybe those aforementioned front players than Victor Torp so far this season? Another lovely goal from him to win it. I suppose, another positive, Eccles and Sims getting goals. Eccles playing a bit of an unfamiliar role, kind of he's the closest one getting up in support of Sims. But they find a way to win, and I had to rewind the commentary. 16 goals from set pieces, and we're in November. Yeah. I mean, you know, that power was evident last season. So They've got so many strings to their bow. Bobby Thomas, I think, again, assisting. He's great value for goals and important first contacts in opposition boxes. But yeah, some of the West Brom factors that went against them here, I mean, puzzling from the manager, which I'm sure Clarkey's going to talk of. And obviously the big moment of the game is Malumbi, who's passionate. He's only had one yellow card so far this season, but he's one of them. He's always berating officials, berating teammates. He's a wide in guy. He's very, very passionate. So he just needed a calm head in that moment, because that's where the game was lost.
Big week coming up, Clarkey, I think, for Ryan Mason. One win in six, loses what apparently is a derby on Saturday, and he's got Birmingham at home on Wednesday. I mean, if they lose that, he's under pressure, isn't he?
Yeah, that's more of a derby, Birmingham at home. And it's not an easy game with Birmingham's form. And then if he lasts beyond that, Swansea at home will be seen as an absolute must win. You've got to beat Swansea at home. And if they don't, then I don't think Ryan Mason survives the two games. And it's harsh because in a way, because I think that there is a smart football brain there, and that he can organise a team, and they've been defensively very solid, good out of possession by and large. But he has been a bit cautious. They haven't scored enough goals. Six wins from 16 isn't good enough for West Brom. They are 17th. You know, even though that they're not got the spending power of some clubs these days, that they have to be at least top half. But yeah, the mistake obviously was, so they got off to a flyer. Two goals from Hegerbo, really good centre forward finishes. I'm sure Sam would have been proud of those back in his heyday. Excellent raids down the right from Mikey Johnston, who's been in really good form lately. Down the right, crosses it in. Hegerbo scores twice, absolutely flying. They had five shots on target in that first half. And then he takes off Mikey Johnson. Tactically, he says afterwards, I mean, I would have lied after the game. Yeah. I would have just said, oh no, he had a knock. And just clear it with him, maybe privately, and just say, look, just trust me. I'm not throwing you under the bus. But for him to actually admit that, no, that's my call, tactically, I saw what was coming second half. I knew we'd be under a lot of pressure. I didn't think we'd get as much joy down that side. So I wanted a left footer on that flank who could maybe create from deeper. I mean, no, you don't take off a guy that's flying. You just don't, especially when he got two assists. I wonder whether he's punished him for the goal that got them back in the game where Eccles scores a free header inside the box. He's sort of on his heels a little bit. Is Micah Johnson, I don't know whether he was his man or not, but he was close. I don't know whether that's like a reaction to that or not from Ryan Mason, but whatever the reasoning, it backfired massively. And I think that is quite big in his managerial career. That is a big quote, I'm afraid, and a big decision, because West Brom fans aren't going to forget that. They're not going to forget what he said. So he needs a quick turnaround. Very quickly on the Malumbi red card, it happens. People are saying he should have took him off at half time. No, I think that's nonsense. I think you should be able to trust an experienced player like him to navigate that. And, you know, it's 49 minutes when he gets sent off. It's not like, you know, he's not like he got his, you know, it was later on in the game. So, yeah, bit of a disaster for Ryan Mason, I'm afraid. Has to win on the weekend.
From 1-3-2 to another. Earlier on, we were talking about managers left ruining the X factor in Nathan Jones, or like a pea-headed despot Louis Walsh was in 2004. John Eustace also coming into this category, former Watford player, now Derby manager, watched on in despair as his Rams had their pants pulled down by the Hornets at Pride Park, conceding twice late on to turn victory into defeat. Colton Morris injured too. Not a good day for the Rams. We'll get to them, but we'll start with the winners, Sam. Quite the turnaround and a first away win since February. That Javi Gracia return is looking like a shrewder move with every week that passes.
Yeah, no, I really fancy Derby here. So to see them race into a two-goal lead, race is an overstatement, but yeah, I was very, very confident they were going to win that game. And I suppose it just illustrates the inconsistency of Watford, the capability, I think, of Watford when they get it right as well, what they can produce. And I think they play pretty well here, despite obviously having to recover from two goals down. Kayembe, who's been dividing opinion, I think, very much this season. First goals, who, for a player who always liable to get one or two from distance on that trusty left foot. So he gets the two and is the match winner. But Kjermagund with a brilliant goal, the first back from them. Five changes from that draw against Bristol City, change in shape. So I think a lot of opportunity to work over the international break. They've got some really good young players. Handed a first start to Othmane Mumma, who is a 20-year-old Moroccan international who they got from Montpellier, who's the most famous Montpellier player of all time. Matt, Clarkey?
Well, I think it's Giroud, but I'm sure you've got a different name in your head.
Did Papin play for Montpellier?
This could really ruin me, couldn't it, if I'm wrong? Carlos Valderrama is where I'm going to go.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Anyway, I don't know. Is he more famous than Olivier Giroud? I don't know.
Wow. Come on. Come on. To a certain vintage. Matt, are you Googling it? Because if I'm wrong, this is going
to
be...
87 to 91, 77 league apps, four goals just before he moved to Real Valladolid.
There we go.
Four goals?
In the league.
Pathetic.
Might have filled his boots in the cup.
He was just a glorified crab, though, wasn't he, Valderrama? Just popping it around, wasn't he? 5-10-yard passes around the midfield. He's a recent recipient of, I think, the African Young Player of the Year. He starred in, not Valderrama, the Watford debutant, who starred in the Under-20 World Cup. So another one that they've plucked from relative obscurity. But, yeah, some good young players in the team. And absolutely, there seems to be that unity that... Yeah, it wasn't necessarily readily obvious at the start of the season under the previous manager. And I think Gabri Grazia, clearly with his history at the club, has garnered that back together. Wild celebrations. And hopefully, I think for the Watford supporters, that could prove to be the most pivotal 5 minutes of their season. Had they have lost at Derby, it could have been doom and gloom and a relegation dogfight. Now... optimism will be sky high that they can have a good second half to the season, I'm sure.
Yes, and I was definitely listening to all of that, but I did just check the 1990 Coupe de France final. For some reason, Valderrama didn't play in Montpellier's 2-1 win against RC Palace. But how about this? His teammates included Laurent Blanc and Eric Cantona, and David Ginola scored in the final for RC Paris, so I guess must be Paris Saint-Germain. You know,
maybe he was holidaying with René Higuita.
quite probably. Derby, Clarkey, they've been on a really good run, so in a way you think this probably won't damage them too much, but if Carlton Morris is going to be out for a while, then that possibly will.
Yeah, it's turned into a horrible day, hasn't it? Yeah, I think the Carlton Morris thing is a bigger deal than the defeat. Really, he's a joint leading scorer in the division. He holds the ball up great. He offers them that threat. They do like putting the ball into the box, don't they, Derby? And he's very good at getting on the end of those chances. So that, if he is out for a while, and I think they're talking about a knee injury, aren't they? So hopefully it isn't sort of a big knee injury. There'll be a few nervous people in and around Derby at the moment, no doubt about it. Look, on the back of five straight wins, you're allowed a pass, aren't you, really? And so they've got one here. It really swung, didn't it, on the penalty, where Joe Ward, who's done so well for them in terms of assists and creating chances, a lot of them from set pieces, like he did for the second goal, For Langas, great ball in from a wide free kick that's knocked in. And he enjoyed the celebration from Langas, going for the multi-ball, smashing it into the stand. I mean, if taking your shirt off is a yellow, which you never should be, in my opinion, then smashing one of these balls into the stands, it's got to be, hasn't it? I don't know. It feels like they've got the priorities a little bit the wrong way around there. Who's going to play out front moving forwards? Adjumang, maybe. But yeah, going back to the pen, it was Joe Ward, 1v1, and he trips the guy. He doesn't need to go to the ground. It's right by the byline, slides in. They score the pen. Then they equalise. And what really impressed me about Norwich was when they, Watford, was when they equalised at 2-2, got the ball out of the net, ran to halfway line. They really fancied that first win. And I just think, Derby sort of, capitulated a little bit. I'll tell you who they did miss. They missed David Ozo, who I'm a big fan of, in central midfield. He struck up a lovely combo with Bobby Clark for Derby, and he missed this. I think he's got a thigh injury. So in effect, Ozo and Morris out at once makes this a bad week for Derby.
Yeah, just on the Derby first goal, as great a strike as it was from Sanderson, it's Selvick's out now for Watford in goal. So it was Nathan Baxter who did pretty well across the piece, but could have maybe done better with that. But watch that back. There's four of the worst attempts you will ever see in your life before Sanderson pulls it together and smashes it into the roof of the net. There's two air shots, I think. Yeah. One shank. It's great stuff.
Benny Hill music needed, isn't it? Yeah.
A little bit of a glimpse into the future for us as a species too, perhaps, with no ozone layer protecting things, then you're going to end up conceding or something. You have to call Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United, the Steel City Derby, right? You can't call it the Sheffield Derby or some sort of local rivalry. It has to be the Steel City Derby. It was a one-sided affair on Sunday. Sheffield United cruising to a 3-0 win at Hillsborough. Still in the bottom three though, Clarkie, but not for much longer based on this.
No, definitely not. No, they'll be absolutely fine. This was a real tonking, wasn't it? I think it was sort of as one-sided as the North London Derby, really. Seven shots on target to nil. Only had 41.2% of possession, Sheffield United. So they were willing to sort of let Wednesday have it and then explode into those spaces, and they've got good pace, haven't they? Down the right, Siriki and Brooks were particularly lively. Callum O'Hare, lovely assist by him, wasn't it, for the first goal? Just goes past a couple inside the box, slips it to Tyrese Campbell, who goes bottom corner, and then he gets another one, doesn't he, Campbell, from a really nice through ball. And yeah, he likes a derby, that's for sure. I think he scored in last year's derby as well. So one player that's sort of newish for Chris Wilder that's making a bit of a difference is Jairo Riedewald. You might remember him from Crystal Palace. He's a sort of no-frills midfielder, but he will get stuck in. He will win the ball back in good areas. And I think he did that for one of the goals as well. And at the back, you know, Tanganga and me were really dominant as well. So, yeah, really easy win for Sheffield United. And, I don't think they would have given up on the playoffs. I think they've got an outside shot at that. If they find some kind of momentum, they've definitely got the individuals that can sort of carry them to, I don't know, six or seven wins on the trot.
Home to Portsmouth on Wednesday night. Next up for them, Sheffield Wednesday. Sam, we said a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, after the joy of administration, these are the hard yards now, the winter months. You wanted something positive to take into that. You just wonder where their next slice of positivity comes from. You know, they're going down. I think we're pretty clear about that. They won once all season. But if you gave supporters a derby win to cling on to, at least there'd be some sort of positivity. But it's going to be a long old slog to the end of May now.
Yeah, normally the result's everything in a derby, isn't it? But even like a really strong performance full of endeavour probably would have gone a long way yesterday. So they'll be feeling really low this morning. Obviously, there is the bigger picture, which we've spoken about copious amounts of times, which is brilliant. And it is the reality that the future will be brighter. But this morning, it will feel pretty bleak, given that performance that Clarkie's outlined. They were, I mean, miles away from Sheffield United. And if it wasn't for Horvath in goal, it could have been a lot worse. He still doesn't fill me with confidence. I think he should do better on certainly Campbell's second goal. But he made a few good saves. And other than Harry Amass, who I think I spoke of on last week's podcast or maybe the previous one, you know, there was no shining lights. He did pretty well. Good young player. I suppose, you know, in kind of wake of United bringing in Riedewald and Bamford, it's the kind of free agent market that they'll be looking at. Obviously, Liam Cooper came on here. There's Duncan Watmore and Nathan Redmond in the last 48 hours have been rumoured to be being looked at. It's whether people want to join in terms of, you know, current form, a sinking ship. How desperate are they to get out and play football? You've got the goalkeeper issue should be resolved in time with Piers Charles coming back available. He's a really good young goalkeeper. Deshaun Bernard as well to come back into the reckoning. So there is players coming back to gain a little bit more, well, to give them a little bit more experience. But I think the reality is the squad is so thin that even after an international break, the amount of minutes that the experienced boys are having to play and the lack of options for the manager on the bench is proving hugely costly. If they had a 10-player deeper squad, they might have a chance, but the reality is it's too wafer thin.
Mm. All right. Well, as Henrik Pedersen's probably said, we'll head to League One next. And a lovely old ding-dong at Adams Park, where Captain Jack Grimmer struck late to give Wickham a 3-2 win against no longer league-leading Lincoln. Lovely brace from Sam Bell to put the Chairboys 2-0 up here. This is Wickham's Twitter account, Clarkey, posting the best ever start made by a Wickham Wanderers manager or head coach in our EFL era, Michael Duff's Light and Dark Blue Army. That's a heck of an appointment.
Light and Dark Blue Army. Is that what they call themselves?
I was thinking that, and I didn't want to make myself look daft. Yeah. But that is just terrible, isn't it?
Light and Dark Blue Army. No, it sounds rubbish, doesn't it? No, it's not. It doesn't work. Yeah, 9 he's won of 14 in charge. Pretty good. Got to say, because I saw Wickham earlier in the season, and they weren't good. They were definitely a soft touch defensively. They didn't have that grit that you need. And Mike Dodds was having a real problem. By the way, those 9 wins for Duff in 14 games, Dodds got 9 in 31. So that's the difference. So it's definitely been an upgrade. Yeah, they're not a soft touch now. They ground this out in the second half. I think it was a great first half. Good energy, some really lovely patterns of play. 2 lovely goals that you've referenced from Sam Bell, sliding in to knock in a cross. And then there's a lovely little through ball from Mullins, and he 1v1, he dinks the keeper. So Sam Bell, on loan from Bristol City, plays on the left wing. He's got 6 goals now, so he's doing ever so well. And yeah, but then it went wrong, and Lincoln showed why they were top of the league ahead of that game. They came back into it, used their strength and their muscle, and got it back to 2-2. And to be fair, I think Wickham were on the ropes a little bit. There was a shocking miss. Sam might know who missed that one. And there's a couple of good saves from the goalkeeper, Will Norris, of Wickham as well. And then, of course, right at the end, the guy scuffs a corner. It's a low one. It's definitely not where he meant it to put it. And it skips through the box. And Jack Grimmer turns it in at the far stick. And they win the game. And now they're top half. And now they're, I think, 4 points off of the playoffs, which is, you know, that they were in the relegation zone not long ago. By the way, Port Vale are bottom, right? They're 15 points off top spot, which is really not that much in the grand scheme of things, is it? It's been one of those divisions. And I've got some crazy stats for you. Wickham are joint top scorers, which isn't that crazy. But anyway, Port Vale, bottom side in the league, are second top for the most shots. And Cardiff, the leaders of the division, have faced the second most shots. So I don't know. Work that out if you can. I really don't think there's much between anyone in League One this season. And those kind of numbers kind of outline that.
Good stuff. Might be the most entertaining division of the three this time round then. Lincoln-wise, Sam, they've sort of lost their way a little bit, haven't they? Which is odd to say, given that they're still third in the table. They were level on points with the leaders going into this one. But actually, you look at their recent results and it's 1 win in 5. Are they regressing to what you think their general standard would be, or can they get back to what their early season form showed?
Yeah, I think they've got an outside chance still. Playoffs probably more realistic in my mind. Away from home, just the 1 point in the last 4. So I think this is probably an improved performance across the piece. It was about the substitutes for Lincoln here after, you know, Clarkey's outlined, you know, they're second best in the first half. I think the nature of some of the goals have kind of caught my eye, that they're conceding. That there's a very, very aging back line, if you like. And sometimes just those little slid passes between them is proving problematic. And that was certainly the nature of Bell's goal. But Rico Hackett and Jack Moylan came on early. Moylan was very, very good. He's been out injured and been a very good player for Lincoln across the last year or two. And then it was Freddie Draper and Justin Obiku. Obiku's the player who went on to miss that gilt-edged opportunity at 2-2. They both scored. I think it was Obiku's second touch since coming on, and Jay Draper quite quickly made it 2-2. So they had a huge impact, those 4 players. Really, really good. And I think they went for it, basically, in keeping with what Adrian said earlier about Watford. I think they had the better chances. It looked like they were going to nick it, and they got done by a bit of a sucker punch. So I don't think, you know, it'll be, yeah, in the hours after, the journey home will be tough, but I think dust themselves down, and they've had a pretty good start to the season. And I think there's good options as well, given what I've just said, for the manager to change things up. The squad's very experienced. There's good depth to it now. And he's got great options across the forward line. So I'm sure one or two changes before the midweek round, and they'll look to get back to winning ways. They've taken some scalps this season, Lincoln. They're a strong side.
Yeah, busy midweek of action and a midweek that will feature a first game as Middlesbrough boss for Kim Hellberg and a first game as Swansea boss for Vitor Matos. Both those appointments confirmed within the last few minutes as we record. Elsewhere in League One, Barnsley smashed Luton 5-0 at Oakwell. He said, trying not to make it all about Jack Wilshere. So let's start with the winners of the game then, Sam. Luke O'Connell's free kick. Pick of the goals for me. Only needed 31% of possession to get this done, the Tykes.
Yeah, and yeah, no one would have seen this coming because Luton have been very good defensively this season. Their concern has been obviously creating and scoring goals. So yeah, it took me by real surprise. We know the woes that Barnsley have had continually over the last 18 months at home. Last season, it was relegation form, their home form, bailed out by obviously getting points and victories on the road. So yeah, it took me by complete surprise, but they played incredibly well here. And I think the chaps I wanted to mention were the three, a very youthful front three, sorry, behind Keeler Dunn. You've got Reyes Cleary, who they picked up from West Bromwich Albion, had an unsuccessful loan at Walsall last year. You've got a 21-year-old in Patrick Kelly, and you've got a 19-year-old Yoga Nathan. So there's your three, loads of energy, front-footed, want to play forward, keeping on this occasion the likes of Adam Phillips and David McGoldrick on the bench. So it's been quite a big call from Conor Hooran the last couple of games, and it's yielded back-to-back victories. So yeah, some great goals amongst there, and Reyes Cleary has had to bide his time. Didn't get into the side until the 4th of October. 3 goals and 3 assists in his 5 starts. So he's been nothing short of a revelation and a first clean sheet since 19th of August. So again, this was not a result that anyone would have predicted, but a brilliant result for Barnsley and maybe catapult their confidence, their belief into a place where they can maybe feel they can again be a playoff team this season.
Big reminder then for Mr. Wilshere, Clarkey, that it doesn't always go your own way in the world of management, following up the goalless draw at home to Rotherham. So 2 blanks in a row. But given that their last away day was that stunning win at Stockport, this must have been a real shock to the system.
I'd imagine so, yeah. He whipped 3 off at half-time, so he wasn't messing around. Jack Wilshere. Yeah, I think it's one of those that you just strike it off. You can't dwell on it too much. They've been pretty solid defensively since he came in, but absolutely weren't in this game. I mean, they're carved open really badly. I think the defenders look, you know, about as uncohesive as you can look. They look panicky. Players were getting pulled out of position. We saw defenders crossing over. It was really bad the way that Barnsley stretched Luton. But when you look at some of the numbers, you know, Barnsley had 5 shots on target, scored 5 goals, and one was an own goal. So only one, you know, effort on target that didn't actually go in. So maybe it wasn't quite as bad as the highlights would suggest. They had loads of the ball, Luton, but obviously didn't do anywhere near enough with it, did they? The Luton today player ratings, they tickled me. Always like a player rating. And I just think they was unnecessarily brutal here. Just too much. The ratings range from 1.5 to 3.5, which I think...
Shouldn't be giving 0.5s out anyway for a start.
I mean, I agree on that.
We can have that discussion another time. But
I agree on that. But yeah, 1.5 to 3.5. I know you've been tonked 5-0, but come on. That's not serious.
Classic Luton today stuff there. In League 2, oh, Fuchs, Christian, you sure about this? Quite the introduction to life in League 2 for the new exile-in-chief as Newport lost 3-0 at Oldham in the first game since the former Leicester fullback took charge. I'm going to take you, chaps, to the Newport's website match report again. Our friend Tony Rees at it once more. Here's what he says. A triple second half strike inside 37 minutes either side of the hour ruthlessly cut down battling County at the foot of the biting cold Pennines. Joss Hawke's double and a goal from Oldham substitute Joe Quigley sent the Exiles spinning to defeat as Newport boss Christian Fuchs gazed on, no doubt now analysing the size of the task that unfolds for him between this chilled autumn and the warm sunlight next spring. Why has he done this, Sam? I mean, Christian Fuchs, not Tony Rees.
I don't know. I was reading up this morning and he seems to have developed quite a substantial academy, I think. I'm not saying this is the reason, but I think he's obviously had a focus on coaching for a long time now. He's been, I think, an assistant at Charlotte in MLS, so he obviously wants to manage. I don't know, the chairman is obviously well-known, isn't he, at Newport in terms of what he did at Swansea, so I don't know if there's a relationship there or a relationship with someone that he knows, but it's a really brave first job to take. You could understand him going in somewhere at League Two with, you know, greater resources or, you know, a bigger fan base. You catch my drift. So that's not being disrespectful to Newport. That's the reality of the situation that he's going in at. And yeah, the supporters appreciated his sentiment after the game, despite the result. He's not done like a big press conference, but, you know, I think that struck the right chord with them. And he said they need to go back to basics, which is probably a little bit in contrast to what they've been trying to become over the last few years, which is, I think, a little bit more progressive in terms of the type of football they're playing. But you think there's going to be probably an eye on shoring things up. To concede three at Oldham, though, who were the lowest scorers, I think, going into this game. And I think it's been well noted on this podcast that they've been, you know, kind of underperforming their attacking stats, and their defensive stats are incredible. So Oldham are a decent side, but they were bullied here for some of the goals. And the goalkeeper, the first one, right, just completely lost his bearings. I mean, he should have thrown his hat on it if it was sunny at Boundary Park, but he was badly positioned, parried it, and they stuck away the rebound. So I think that's the most alarming thing to come out of this game. No, to concede three against a goal shy Oldham Athletic is tough. But we know he's dealing with a very young squad. Baker Richardson and Garner up front have relatively good experience, where they're both experienced centre forward, so hopefully they can get some goals. But you need to shore things up, and absolutely they need to be scouring the world for some additional players if they can in the window.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he gets some MLS guys on loan, having been assistant to Dean Smith at Charlotte most recently. Oldham might not score many goals, Clarkey, but they're going to be pretty pleased, aren't they, with how things are going for them back in the EFL there. They're well clear of any relegation threat as it stands.
Yeah, they're not going down, are they? No chance. Not with the defence as good as theirs. 9 clean sheets in 17 games. That's a 53%. Chance of keeping a shutout. That's very good going, isn't it? Obviously, that's a team effort. Mickey Mellon got them super organised. You've got to. If you haven't got a free-flowing side that are going to bang in loads of goals, you have to be good at the other end, and that's the focus. Very experienced centre-half partnership. Oldham, Manny Month and Donovan Daniels have been around at that level for many, many years now. They're rocks. And the goalie's done great this year. Matthew Hudson, according to Opta, he's prevented over four, or between four and five extra goals being scored as well for Oldham. So he's done really well. And yeah, in this game, they were just too strong for Newport. They did dominate the game and they just used their weight. They got a lot of athletic players, strong players. And the big man off the bench, Mike Fondup, caught my eye in the highlights that I saw. He looked like he came on and did a really good job as a sort of bustling number nine. So yeah, look, Oldham probably going to be mid-table, isn't it? I don't think they're going to score enough goals to force their way into the playoffs. But yeah, more positives than negatives for them.
Good on them. Good to have them back in the Football League. More negatives than positives for me in predictions last week. 0 was my score. Sam, you got 4. Courtesy of a perfect one-all prediction between Crawley and Accrington, and 2 for you, Adrian. So he stretched his lead still further.
No, I haven't. Not you.
I mean, Sam.
Yeah. Matt.
There's no lead here, Matt.
Oh, sorry.
I'm breathing down his neck is the terminology you're looking for.
Okay, sure. What's the scores? That's what I'm trying to ask.
5 minutes ago, you were level with Sam, and now you're 8 behind him. So Matt on 21, Sam on 29, and my massive lead has been shrunk to 4. I'm only on 33, so this is very much game on territory.
In the words of David Brent, foregone conclusion.
I was just thinking,
as I said last week, I'm happy about this. It keeps it interesting.
Yeah, it's good prep for you for when Arsenal bottle the league as well. Midweek special for us this week. Middlesbrough Coventry. I wonder if our predictions might change slightly now. It's going to be the Kim Hellberg debut. Possibly not. What do you reckon, Adrian?
Yeah, I'm doing the commentary of this if anyone wants to watch it on Sky Sports Plus. So quite a good game to do this. I think it's going to be Middlesbrough 1, Coventry 2.
Sam?
Yeah, all over that. Defensive woes for Middlesbrough coming into this game. A lot of injuries. 0-2.
Wow, okay. I'm going to give him a little bounce and say it's going to be a 2-2 draw. Norwich-Oxford is next up for us. Sam, what do you think for that?
I'm going for the elusive home win.
No.
New manager bounce. 1-0 Canaries.
Wow, okay. We had a listener, Cristiano, ask on Spotify or comment on an episode why we're not talking much about Oxford.
I just have that.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be that happy with that from former Swindon man, Sam Parkin.
I'm there Parky. On Friday as well. Sorry,
Cristiano. Oh, we're both there on Friday, aren't we?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm going to be all over Oxford United in their battle for points against the Tractor Boys. Yeah.
Can you give them any more positivity, Adrian?
Oxford, do you know what? I kind of think Norwich, because Norwich can't keep losing at home, but I'm going to go for a draw here. Norwich 1, Oxford 1.
Okay, I'll take the 3-1 to Norwich in that one, and I'll go first on Peterborough Stevenage. Incredible start for Luke Williams as Posh look to push their way out of the relegation zone, and I'm going to say that they are going to get another win here. This will be tighter, though. It's going to be 2-1 to Peterborough. Sam?
They've won 3 on the bounce at home. I don't know why they're only playing home games at the moment. They'd won Bandon. Stevenage, a bit goal shy, aren't they, all of a sudden? 1-0. More than happy with it. Posh, 4 in a row.
Okay, are we going for a full house of Peterborough wins then, Adrian?
No. No, they've got. I'm just going to go against you, boys. I actually thought Peterborough probably would win this game, but I'm just going to change my mind here and say that that Stevenage are going to go there and be miserable. They're going to be miserly. They're going to shut out the Posh. It's going to finish goalless.
Wow. Okay. We shall see. All right, before we go, let me remind you of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. Quick tweet of the week. To finish, it comes from Samson Tavide, who is celebrating his team's win at Notts County at the weekend. Colchester United cruising to victory at Meadow Lane. He's actually, and I love this, he's quote tweeting Notts County's tweet about it, not his own team. Our unbeaten home run comes to an end with a picture of the game. And Samson says, "Oi, my flipping team, what a win, space exclamation mark. Support was crazy, thank you. Thank you all and safe travels home." Blue heart emoji, crying with joy emoji. Some grammatical errors there, which stumped me a little bit, Sam, but you've got to enjoy the spice of quoting the opposition who you've just beaten rather than your own club.
Yeah, I'd like to have been a fly on the coach wall there. Did he just find that one first in his feed, or has he sort it out? I like it, whichever way it came about. I do like that. He's obviously had an absolute worldie, if you look at the replies. And he's a young lad. I do like him. He's a good player. He's a handful. And I love the passion and the energy of the tweet. And I particularly enjoy, if you just scroll down 4 or 5, SDBA Notts. Thought you looked like a very good player. As a Notts fan, we were way off it. Isn't that lovely, eh? There's still people out there who can credit the opposition in this this world we live in.
Yeah, I would have liked a response from Samson.
Yeah, it's very kind of you.
That would have been nice, yeah. Lovely, lovely of you to say. Best luck for the rest of the season, yeah.
Andrew Whitaker, not quite so magnanimous in the replies, Clark. You hope there was a fleet of ambulances waiting for all your dreadfully injured players at the end of the game. True grit to play on with so many life-threatening injuries.
Well, that's a Cowley team, isn't it? That is a Cowley team for you. Put your bottoms on, put your house on it. If Colchester are winning, a lot of stoppages late on in the game. Just put your house on that. But look, Samson, there's not enough Samsons in football. It's a great name. Samson Tavide, and anyone that's got the sort of hotspur to use the term flipping in a tweet, I think is popular with me. Yeah, well done.
All right, top marks to you then, young man. Another one of those next week, but that's where we're going to leave things for today. Enjoy the midweek action. And remember, you can catch Adrian on comms of Middlesbrough versus Coventry on Sky Sports Plus. So tune into that one if you like, and join us again next week if you'd be so kind. For now, though, from all of us, it's goodbye.